previously on Trust in the Process.
And so I was just like, oh, okay, yeah, I like you too. And then we kind of started dating. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, I just felt like his love at the time was a bit overbearing for
me.
Wow,
that's interesting.
I just couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. And I was just, obviously, I've just gotten saved. I'm a babe and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just felt really, really broken. Mm-hmm. And that it just, that didn't make sense to me. And mm-hmm. so I was just like, hey, I broke up with him.
MSN. Just gradually just fell in love with her. Aww. And it's like, oh, so one day we'll talk on the phone and tell her that I like her and stuff. And then, yeah. And then, yeah, literally. But I think, like, I loved her heart. Like, in, so, yeah. So when she broke up with me, it was heartbreak 101, but it didn't really.
And so we get to this meeting, and so my pastor's like, okay, Ayo, do you have any feelings for Susan?
Well, direct.
Yeah. Ayo looked me in my eyes and he said, I do not have any romantic feelings for you whatsoever. So the hood in Susan was like, no, that's cool, that's cool, that's cool. But cool, inside, fam. I was just like, mm.
Now, on to part two.
I feel like God makes each of us uniquely, mm-hmm. in the sense of he gives us, you know, our personalities and our, I don't know, the small things about us for a reason, because even when I wasn't saved, I just had this mentality that I am not going to be a result of my circumstances, you know. So even though we're all here in this hostel, I need to tell you guys that I'm gonna make it. Like, that's the kind of mentality I had. But if I had, I feel like God created, like, puts, instills certain things in you to make you resilient in that sense.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, through the journey, I can just see that, you know, as my mum named me, God's grace. Through that time, I can really see the grace of God on my life, you know, to bring me to where I am. So, yeah, literally, it's understanding who I am through his word that has brought me back to life.
Amazing. Wow, wow. And I think one of the things that's beautiful about God and his love is how it can show in different people. So as you've said, you know, that friend that hugged you, I imagine meeting Ayo and, you know, his love and God working through him to give you what it was that you truly needed. I want to hear a little bit from Ayo in terms of, you know, hearing Susan's story. You probably heard this like 1,001 times, yeah, because you know, to an extent have gone through it with her. As a man, right, who's, you know, approaching this woman and this is someone that you love, how did you kind of choose to approach her in terms of the being aware of the brokenness? And maybe what did learning to love Susan, what did that teach you about yourself or maybe even the love of God?
I feel like of our friendship, I feel like her past wasn't like a major, what's the word to use, talking point or whatever.
Okay.
I feel like I saw Susan, like I saw her. Yeah, so that was what we connected literally. So even what she went, like, I always would remember what she was going through when she would testify and stuff. And I always used to tell her, like, you know, I always tell her, like, I don't know how you even believe in God. Like, you know, your life is just like, you should be the most,
some,
you know,
Job situation,
you should be the most anti-God person. Like, whatever, because, like, your life is, you know, we could say it seems unfair. Mm. It just seems like from day one, like, life was against you, Susan. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like, I almost felt like honored. Or like privileged, like to be her friend, to be able, like, I always tell her, like, wow, like you're the star and that's the sky, that's the sky. Yeah, literally, like, I think Susan is just like amazing, like just some gigantic star. Is just like, So, so I never prone in it much. If I'm honest with you. I think it's only when our relationship got more and more close towards the day that those things started to come out. And if anything, then it was confusing because I'm thinking, like, you dealt with them things, innit? So, yeah, it didn't come before in our relationship, so to speak. So I was just like, you know, well, to be fair, at the beginning, she was a bit wary of me because she used to think, like, you know, all these other girls, why me?
I got to know.
Yeah, yeah, like, they said, really annoying me because I'm thinking, I got to this place where I've forgiven you and I'm thinking, and you're questioning my love. You're questioning why me? So I think that's the first time I kind of saw maybe her sense of not feeling worthy of being loved by me or whatnot kind of thing. So yeah, I loved her heart. I loved her through it. Like, literally, I kind of just took it on the chin. I think it was during the engagement period that really, like, I had to be patient, mm-hmm. understanding, because I was not really seeing it from where she was seeing it, especially the family stuff. Because my parents took her in, like my dad loves Susan. That's that's his child. Like, yeah. He like adopted her for me. So for me, I was like, you got all this love, but yeah. So I think I had to learn patience. What's the word that you used to say in counselling? Empathy.
Yes.
I used to hear that word a lot. Yes. In counselling, just be like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Empathy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, literally. So, mm-hmm. and then obviously our love languages are really different. Mm-hmm. You know, she's pro quality time, mm-hmm. all this stuff. I'm more like touch gift. So mm-hmm. having to really like essentially humble myself, deny myself, not love her how I wanted to be loved, but yes. love her how she did. So it taught me how to love her like Christ loved the church, literally, for real. Mm, like,
wow.
So yeah, so patience, not being selfish in my love, loving her where she's at, through what she's going through, being empathetic. So yeah, and so the marriage sort of dynamic brought out the areas of her past a lot more, and that's where I had to be like, okay, and deal with it. And my mind had to think about it, because even in counseling, they would ask questions like, oh, so if this continues, is this something that you can enjoy? You actually ask the questions like, yeah, because sometimes you think that, oh, this is going to be a moment, it may continue.
Yeah.
Are you willing to enjoy with it? So I had to really sit down. One day, I sat down and thought, okay, this is what Susan's at. She doesn't change, Aya. We still be okay to be like, I had to ask myself those questions, and like, obviously the answer is clear today. But yeah, literally, like, because then I think that like, love isn't, you know, 100% straight line. It's really messy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think reading Ephesians 5 and the whole thing where Paul tells the man to love Christ, to love the wife, as kind of love the church, really homed in more, because how loving Susan kind of taught me about how God loves me and how the relationship between the church and God is. And it's kind of like, it really humbled me to reality of like, of God's love. Like, it's how God loves us. He pursues us. He hunts us down. Even when we say no to him, he's still saying yes. Like, it's just like, it was Bible real life. Like, literally, So that's how the experience was, to be honest with you.
Wow. you guys' story is just amazing. I'm just listening like, oh, God, do my. But Susan, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, Aya said something in the beginning that he just saw me. And I think for me, you know, when I would share, like, you know, my past and before, you know, with exes or whatever, or just genuinely with people, be like, oh, are you okay? And I didn't like the pity. I didn't like to be defined by, can you see me?
Like,
not my struggle. Yeah. You know, can you just look at me? I'm here. I'm visible. And, you know, one thing that I did love about, you know, Aya, he's still that way now. You know, he ain't lasted. but like, one thing that I really admired, or that made me so intrigued about him, was the fact that he was interested in me. You know, he saw me. And I think sometimes when you go through a lot, sometimes people hone in on the struggle and really want to connect with that, but connect with but just the person, because there's a person beyond all of that. There's a diamond in the mess, in the dirt. And so and it, again, that's a reflection of God. Like, God doesn't see, the Father doesn't see, you know, all the mess. He sees you, that he's trying to save you, the person, and bring that person forth, you know. And so again, that was again an experience that, you know, I've really learned how much God loves me through our relationship and marriage. And it has been very, it has been like a healing balm. So
amazing. Susan, so one of the things that you talk about and you have spoken about before on your blog and through the newsletter is the topic of navigating church hurt and what that has looked like for you. One of the reasons why I really applaud you for sharing on that is because it's something that is very common. It happens, but it's rare that people talk about it. And even when they do, it's typically from like a negative perspective, and there's rarely like a solution at the end of the day. So being the person that actually wrote all of this and decided to share it, what was the reaction of your readers? How did people respond to you kind of opening up about that?
I think a lot, well, some of the comments that I've had, and when people feed back to me or I bump into people, is that, oh, wow, like, you made me want to try this thing out again, or you made me want to be in this, in the arena of community. And for me, you know, a lot of people go through church hurt and they like automatically cut themselves off, like, no, church people, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But I think from that, when I wrote, you know, the blog, from that, what I wanted people to really understand is the necessity of community, not necessarily like church is community, but like how vital it is for someone to have that community. So for me, the feedback was, okay, you made me really rethink, you know, joining, you know, a fellowship of some sort or just being around other Christians, and not to make my hurt, like idolize my hurt to such a point that I cut myself away from something that I actually need. And so for me, that has been the highlight from that blog.
One of the things that's quite unique about your story as a couple is that you navigated that together, in the sense that you correct me if I'm wrong, right? Yeah. You guys both experienced this chat and this situation together, but then you've both come out on the other side. I'd love to hear from Ayo. How on earth did you guys rebuild your trust and faith and hope in the church after what you both experienced?
I get asked this quite a few times. I think it was mad. Obviously, the situation was just so mad. And obviously, I was a leader in the church as well. So obviously, I think, honestly, when I think about it now, I think it was my love for God. It sounds really weird. And this is where, mentally, it was just so crazy, because like I was in the meeting with other leaders and then we're discussing the matters, closing the church down, and literally like everybody around me was just like, you know, saying what nothing, like, you know, just kind of like quote unquote denouncing the call, just like, nothing to do with this thing anymore. And in my heart, I wanted to be like, yeah, man, just like this whole, but I had like a deep something conviction in my spirit, like, I know this is who I am. Like, it was so deep, because everything in me emotionally, mentally wanted to be like, fam, like, what the heck? this is mad. So my experience was quite unique, that I was just like, I think it affected me. I think straight afterwards, I made sure that I got help straight away from another leader, which was a big step, because obviously most people don't trust any more pastors, whatever. But for me, I thought, I know myself. I knew that if I didn't think about this the right way, it could mess me up. So I kind of got counsel from another bishop. I think being with Susan and our determination to not like come out of fellowship but still find someone new helped the hurt. But I think for me, I had a moment in my life where it was literally whether I was going to allow pain to teach me a lesson or the truth. So I found myself in this place where it was either, you know, living in pain or like embracing God's truth. So like, yeah, literally that valley was where I was, and I remember the day perfectly. I was just bawling out, just like, I don't know what to do, like I'm just struggling, but I still love God, like I still know God is real. Like, there was this in battle, I just literally had to surrender and be like, God, you have to help me in it. And then that was like March of 2015, and then from there God just took me on a journey to where I am now, literally.
I was just going to say, like, even I'm thinking now, like, going backtracking my mind to that particular moment when we found out the news about, you know, everything that had been going on, and just even just down to things like God speaking and if his voice is actually real. Like, that's, I questioned, like, the small things, and I was, like, self-proclaiming, like, no, I'm going to a nice Anglican church. I want nothing to do with a black church. I want to see no black people. I don't want to be around no black people. I don't want to know. Like literally. No people, and just the impact that it had, and just, like, Ayo has just well articulated, like, the pain and just having this, like, this war inside of you between knowing you love God and you know there's a part of you that knows he's real, but then at the same time, like, just the disappointment of someone, a leader that is meant to, unfortunately, I kind of viewed him like God. I don't know if that makes sense. Not to say he was God, but, you know, like, he was a representation of it, know, someone that was supposed to be faithful and, you know, so, like, that heartbreak and that disappointment. So, everything I said, but
I don't think, because I didn't have the whole issue ran through, like, church hurt. I think for me, I think, like, us looking for a new church was very traumatic. For me, it was just mentally processing what happened, trying to get the truth out of the deception of what was going on,
mm.
and then somehow move forward knowing this is happening. It was just kind of like, it was as crazy as like, I'm in a desert, I don't know what to do. Literally, yeah. So that was my kind of thing. So getting back and then just finding the right church to go to next. So I was just like, yeah. So that was my thing there. Mm. I mean, when you did find a church, obviously there's just little things that remind you of things from before. You know, yeah. I think they call it trauma. Literally, but yeah, my love for God and like God's grace is what literally kept us through.
Mm.
And the church we went to afterwards is really healthy.
Mm.
Understanding that they were really healthy in how they engaged with us, their process of us, their patience.
Mm.
That pastor was amazing, it was guy.
Amazing,
literally. Amazing. So yeah.
Do you want to shout out your church?
Yeah, CLF, Christian Life Fellowship, guys.
Greenwich.
Literally.
But it's also like understanding that for a lot of people that we attended church with was that a lot of purpose was attached to the church.
Mm, mm.
And so, like, you know, a lot of your future's attached to this. Like, imagine thinking that you're going to plant a church with this church. Like, do you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so when that had now broken down, it's just this whole notion of, who am I now?
Yeah.
What am I meant to be doing? I need to now find that out. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You're like, has God actually really called me? You know, everything is in question because, again, identity has been your purpose, or I guess your sense of identity had been attached to it for a lot of us.
Mm.
And so, I guess that's kind of like, there's so many layers to it, but I think that's like some of the things like attached to why now many people that have gone through a situation like that don't want to have anything to do because they don't know where to begin. You know what I mean?
What would you guys say to people that have navigated church hurt and now they're in a place where they're like, I don't need to be in church to have a relationship with God. Like, it's just me and God. I don't want anything to do with church. We all know people that, you know, unfortunately because of offense have chosen to kind of separate themselves from fellowship. What would you kind of say as a response to that?
Obviously, I think most times I like to know the person a bit more so I could see where they're at with what they feel to appropriately answer them. But generally speaking, I think it's just more or less like trusting God, like getting a relationship back on with God. And if that is truly what you seek after, God in his own grace and mercy will create a way for you to have the desired friendship that he wants you to have. So I think it's almost like relearning, you know, the truth of God again, and then God through his grace will literally bring you back to him. So I wouldn't even focus them too much on trying to force them back to whatever. Focus them back to the truth, the person, Jesus himself.
Yeah.
I know through him, through his healing power, he will eventually get them back to where they need to be in regards to joining the fellowship. But I think it's key that people don't go through church and then their answer is being put back into church. They need to deal with how to separate. I think for me, what was helpful for me was that I was able to separate the pain of what I went through from, oh, that's what church is.
That was how
in a nutshell I got to go over it quite quickly, or quite more than my other friends did. I didn't equate church hurt to that's who Jesus is or church is. There's a man called Jesus who is perfect, and there's his church who is being perfected. These things happen, you know, unfortunately. But yeah, so that was what I was saying.
I think it's, you've hit the nail on the head in terms of, you know, because I think for myself and Ion, you know, for myself, it was unlearning what I thought I knew before and relearning who God is, you know, for me personally. And I think that's, like Aya has said, like pushing someone more towards learning who God is, but also starting small. So it could be in a connect group, it could be in, you know, a Bible study, or start ease small, yourself in, ease yourself in, you know, get a few Christian friends, you know, because usually what tends to happen is through church hurt, a lot of the times you gravitate towards the people that feel the same way or are totally opposite to what you were doing before. It's like you go from one extreme to another. Do you know what I mean? No judgment. It is what it is as human beings. Yeah. But, you know, so it's get a few like Christian, you know, people around you, and then connect group, and then gradually work yourself into the church. Do you know what I mean? And through that process, you can kind of learn, okay, what does accountability look like? Mm-hmm. What should leadership look like? Mm-hmm. What questions can I ask leadership? Mm-hmm. If I'm worried about, do you get what I mean? Because you've learned from experience.
Yes.
And so like, it is what it is, but yeah, you've learned from experience. So I think like that's one of the, Ayo said it and as well, but that's one of the key things, ease your way into it.
Definitely. One of the things that I really love about you guys, and I think I was saying it to you earlier before we started recording, is how your purposes really complement each other so well, so beautifully. Like, you guys, you know the phrase match made in heaven? You're literally that. like, what are the chances that, you know, God would call you to go into essentially women's ministry through, you know, coffee and prayer, and God will call you to look after the men, like, with 4-12 men? Like, it's insane, but really it's just divine. That's what it is.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to discuss was what you are doing with 4-12 men, Aya. I think what's really amazing about it is, of course, as we know, within the church, women typically speaking are, like, you know, well catered to, maybe because we're the majority, who knows, but men of course need that space as well, so tell me a little bit more about what that is that you're doing through 4-12 men and why you feel it's important.
So even the backstory behind it, I think, what was it, it's twofold. I think I was doing a ministry training course at my church, and part of the requirements is to lead a cell group or a Bible study of some sort. So that was one of the requirements. And at that point in time in my life, I think I talked to a lot of sisters, and I just used to hear bare, mad stories about guys.
Yep. Yeah. If you stay long enough.
Like, wild boys. Wild boys.
Yes. Then wild boys, wow. Sliding in the DMs. Cool.
Like, no, it was a problem, man. At one point, and even like people that I knew within the circuit, I just thought, you know what, like, nah, it's a mess right now. And I'm not a guy that likes to complain or point fingers and whatever. I'm like, if we're going to talk about it, let's do something about it kind of thing. So very much more hands-on sticks. I thought, you know what, let's start this space for guys to come. Because my angle is more or less, you know what, a lot of what's happened is just an issue of immaturity, and there's a lack of community and of growth in men's life, and that can happen when we come together and can talk and literally deal with our issues. So I thought, you know what, for Men's Monday, let's come together, let's talk life, let's talk all things manhood, let's talk about Christ, let's like grow together. So that's the heart behind it, literally, if I'm honest with you. And then also to fulfill my requirement for my ministry training course. But literally, yeah, so that was my heart behind it. I think it's really crucial. I think even our main themes that we talk about a lot, is that the first, I think it's Genesis 2, talk about God, not good for man to be alone. And before we talk about wife and anything else, we talk about the whole essence of like just being a human being, that we're not made to be alone. And we have this thing now where guys like to do their own thing. You know, we talk about our languages, how we act and behave and our personas. And like, you know, there's this pride with a man where he feels like he needs to do stuff on his own. And we'll try to break that, you know, that curse, that whole sin nature of being a man, and realize that, you know what, we're not made to be alone, we're made for community. So like the main three words for 4-12 is gather, become and multiply. So the vision behind it is just I felt like as a man by default I have responsibility in as a man that carries seed, that what I do matters, and who I become will eventually multiply into other people's lives, you know, whether spiritually or naturally. So the whole thing behind 4-12 is we have a vision of that over 400 generations. We will disciple 12 people, and those people will disciple 12 people. Okay. And it'll multiply basically over 4 generations. You want to be able to create spiritual legacy where people can trace back their walk to our lives, basically. So we feel like the way we're going to change the world is one man at a time. How we're going to change the streets is one man at a time. So it's key that we gather. When we gather, we have fellowship, we become what God's called us to become, and through becoming, we multiply what we are into the lives of other men as well. So hopefully Men's Monday will be in East London, West London, other cities. So we wanted to multiply. So that's the whole kind of heart and vision behind it. So I think that answered your question.
it did. On behalf of the ladies, not that you guys should be doing all your work for us, I want to make that clear, but thank you for doing this work with men, genuinely. Like as someone who I'm passionate about souls being well in general. So that goes for men, that goes for women. And I see that there is a deficiency there in terms of men being given that space. So just to say thank you for even creating that space for men. Another thing that you guys do really well. So obviously I went to Coffee and Prayer, not the last one, but the previous, the one prior to that. Yeah, and
our moderator for the day.
Oh, well, thanks, guys. I was the host. Moderator. It was an amazing time, absolutely amazing. And what, when I wasn't moderating, I watched, basically. Like, and when I wasn't, like, in tears because of worship, and when I wasn't in awe of Susan, which was rare, I was kind of watching what was going on. And one of the things that I noticed is I was looking at you, actually, and I just watched the way you were 110% behind this woman. Like, at any given moment, you were either watching her in awe as well, like as Susan was on her Sarah Jakes preaching machine. You were either in awe or you were praying at times, like even with other people, and or you're doing photography. Like at no point were you just there like, well, I'm her husband in it, so I'm just here to support. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is the role of being able to be individuals within marriage and supporting each other and allowing one another to shine. Because I think sometimes there's this conversation that men say that they want a powerful woman and they want, you know, a woman that's doing amazing things. But then sometimes they get that and they're intimidated by it and they cause that woman to shrink. I don't see that with you guys. So why is it important for you both to basically, to create that space where you can both shine and support each other so relentlessly?
I think for us, you can answer.
Go on.
I think for us, I think because, like, not to be cliche, because, like, the reason we're together, like, is so, like, God. Like, God's at the centre of this relationship, like at the centre of it. So I feel like because of that essence and then the whole, you know, who we are individually, what we do and how it intertwines with our destinies, I feel like it's almost seamless because I don't really think about that.
Okay. It comes natural.
So we don't even, like,
think, oh my gosh, I need to
go and root for him. Yeah.
It's like, that's what I'm expecting. Like, if we're not doing that, then there's an issue.
Like, if you're not my
this is the first time I'm hearing this one.
I don't want to sound too overly switched, but, like, literally, it's just so, like, that's how it is. So I don't have to actually think like that. I'm like, those are my expectations. If anything, I'm pushing for more. I'm like, season to something, I'm a bit too much. But I'm like, family, need to do this. I'm more like, I think I've already seen the future. So it's almost like we're working backwards but forwards at the same time. We've already seen where we're going to go. And we're trying to work where we are now and going towards there. So that's the way it kind of really is. So I think maybe if I did look at pimp or anything, I think based on the maturity where we're at now, and maybe how we've kind of maybe are aware of our purpose and what we're supposed to be doing to a degree where we're quite productive, it kind of helps the relationship flow because we're both not idle or in some weird space of, I don't know what I'm doing in my life, I don't know who I am. Or, you know, there's a bit more of a grounding, there's a foundation, that's what I'm looking for, that we have. And there's a vision that we're kind of seeing or working towards. So it just kind of helps, like, that gives the relationship, like, direction, focus, like,
For it to just
naturally
mesh together. Because I think, because there was a time when we first got together, at that time I wasn't really doing anything. Like, I didn't have a job. I had ideas, but boy. and Aya was doing his, at that time, it was AO Media.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was just like, wow, like, what do I actually bring, you know? I feel like, you know, you're better than me. And he's trying to tell me that I've got, like, stuff inside of me. And I'm like, Virgin, have you seen that? I don't have a job. Like, do you know what I mean? And then when we got married, I went through this weird stage where I was just like, I'm now a wife. What do I do? Like, what's going on? Like, and so I feel as though that's why it is important. I always say, like, as a single woman, that is the best time for you to explore who you are and to step out at least with a few things. Do you know what I mean? And to really maximize your potential in that season. Because I do feel like getting married, it really brought out another level in me that I don't think I would have been able to tap into, you know, when I was single or courting. And I'm not, that may not be, you know, the overall banner for everyone, but I'm just saying in general. So there's a season, there's a season for everything. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like with me and I think, like Aya said, you know, we don't, when we're at home, like when we've got an office together, however, we work sometimes separately in different rooms. And so we're working towards something, but also it's just there's this appreciation for one another. And you know, I see so much in Ayan, he sees so much in me. And I'm gonna push you when you like, and if it annoys you, it is what it is. And vice versa. Do you get what I mean? So I think like we don't really focus on who's got more followers and who doesn't, who's getting more people for their event and who isn't, who's no. Do you know what I'm saying?
We won, baby.
We're winning together. Do you know what I'm saying? And at some point we can merge every now and then, but right now we're building together. And I've had to learn that as a wife, it's not necessarily, you know, in what I do per se, because you know, people make it about the cooking and the cleaning, or sometimes it can come across like that. But no, it's beyond that. It's what I'm adding to Ayo.
Yes.
So if I'm making additions to myself, I'm making additions to Ayo, and vice versa. Do you know what I mean? It's the woman that I'm trying to be, you know, for the best of who he is. So I think, yeah, we don't think of that. It's just individual work. Again, we're becoming individually to become something together. And that's where the teamwork comes.
Amazing. Well, guys, I hope y'all are taking notes. Because whatever stage of the relationship you're in, whether you're single or not.
Just love Jesus. Like, just love him.
That's to be honest.
I would say, even with that, that's one side of the coin, I think, like if we were to say where the conflict is or whatever, it would even come because of the expectations we have. And when she's onto me, you know, and maybe it's a man thing, I'm like, fam, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, be easy, like, whatever kind of thing. But obviously she's trying to be like, oh, you say you're going to do this. She challenged my, what's the word? Integrity, your work ethic, and vice versa. So we realize that a lot of our conflict came from like our expectations or where we're slacking, and then we're getting onto each other. We don't like it. We want to be in our moody self or in our little pity party, whatever. Kind of, yeah. So even that, I think since it hit a point, even when we got married, and the whole wife thing came up. And obviously, that links back to the whole mum thing of like, she didn't feel like she was being shown how to be a wife because she didn't really have a mother figure in her life. And I didn't get it, guys. I was so confused. I'm like, she would ask me a question like, am I doing this right? And I'm thinking, babes, you're doing
this. I don't know.
You're fine. You know, and obviously, I'm quite hands-on in the house. So I cook a bit, clean. Oh, I'm not just that guy.
We've seen the dishes.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, no, like, if I don't do it, I'm not being a good wife. Yeah, like,
it's a real pressure.
Or if I'm not putting my food on Instagram, I'm not feeding my husband. and you know what? It's so funny because people have made comments like, you know, Ayo cooks all the time, doesn't he? And I'm just like, because he posts his one on Instagram and I don't post what I want to cook on Instagram. Like, do you get what I mean? It's just like, hey, guys, chill. Do you know what I mean? I do cook. I just choose not to pull it on Instagram. And that's just where it is. But it just goes to show you like the kind of mentality that, you know, people, oh, I bet Ayo does everything. It's just like, no, like it's quite 50-50. But yeah, sorry,
literally,
babe, I
can't. She needed to get that out for
y'all work papers. Y'all working my life, you know.
So I think it was a character performing part. So me and Susan have been good friends, living apart from each other, then living together. It's a whole other dynamic. So I felt like when it came to like purpose, when it came to like, you know, our vision, all that we're doing and stuff, that was fine. But when it came to like maybe living together, embracing each other, we're now married, so I'm seeing a bit more of Susan's, you know, negativity parts.
The good parts.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I like how you said that.
So I'm seeing everything. She's seen all of mine.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very character reforming. The first 3 months were boom, 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 boom. I had to be like, fam, did that? This is how I married.
God, is this?
I was like, is this me? I'm sure. Yeah, literally.
Literally, it was deep. Yeah, but it shows you how much you live and you in your own like zone.
Yeah.
And the minute somebody's coming to you telling you, you're like, what? I'm like, so I thought I was good, I was calm. But literally, men and women see things differently. We're both different people. So merging that together was crucial. So I think like maybe 6-8 months in, there was this thing where we got to this, there was this place where we kind of like was able to understand each other. And I think the friction was that we didn't know what the strengths and weaknesses we both brought to the table. Once we identify who was strong where. Mm. We let ourselves go from trying to be something that we weren't, or trying to like do whatever. Mm. We allowed each other's weaknesses to complement each other. And that part allowed us to flow. So I think that 6 months in, it was really weird. It was ease.
Because we wasn't trying to, I'm not trying to like cook all the time.
Yeah.
Don't Hoover. Why are you not? I know it sounds petty, but these were things where it was just like, it wasn't just that. Obviously, it's just like how I work when I wake up and all of that. But like, these were the things that if you just allow it to be, it is what it is. If he does the dishes, he does the dishes. Mm. She doesn't do them, it's fine. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, and we kind of like, it became seamless kind of thing. So now it's just like, even today I was watching each other, like I was hoovering, I was doing the dishes. Aww. Like there was just this, and I don't have to shout and say, like, come do the dishes. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, or yesterday I was joking saying, I'm going to leave the dishes so you can figure it. And they were still there, you know what I mean? But we were laughing at it because it was like, it is what it is, my friend, you know? And so, yeah, there's just this teamwork. And I think that's when, I'm not saying that, we're perfect now, but I think we're learning how to work together on the much deeper, mundane things of life so that the bigger things can work as well.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Learning to work together so the bigger things can work. Yeah. I love that. And guys, I think a lot of people will be hearing your story and be like, this is what I would like to emulate. But I think it's important that you've shared every single side of things.
Yeah, it's crucial, man.
It hasn't been easy. And it probably won't ever be easy, so to speak. But when you're in Christ and when you're both in purpose and that aligns, I think it's beautiful. It looks beautiful. And
makes it worthwhile.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes it worth... Oh, God. Guys, I feel like I should just leave. Like, get a room. But I did actually want to end on a nice loving note, which is basically, of course, it's been like a year of being married now, a year plus, right?
Yeah.
So what I wanted to ask you both is, what has been your favourite thing about being married to each other?
Favourite thing.
Obviously, he's thinking because the list is so long, guys, by the way.
I know. I mean, it better be.
I think... best thing about being married, I think doing it together. Essentially being one with Susan and doing it together. So I feel like ever since being married, like, it's just been a whole nother level to my life. So
upgraded.
Okay. Yeah. I have been upgrading. Thank you.
It's upgrading
me, guys.
It's Christian version, guys.
And Susan, what's been your favourite thing about, of course there can be many, but what's been one of your favourite things about being married to Ayo?
I think, our friendship and the teamwork. Friendship and teamwork, and through that, just becoming a better person. I think that Ayo has taught me so much, like being with him, being around him, seeing how he navigates, like, he's just opened me up to the person I should try and be. You know, I'm not trying to be like him, but just his heart and just everything. It's, you get front row seats into someone's like development, and I just think it's good to witness it, or more than good. But I just think it's thingy. But yeah, and through that, just being friends with him, I'm just like, wow, like, I've got a really cool friend. Like, that's how
before anything.
Yeah, before anything. And then sometimes it's just like, man, you annoy me.
But you my friend.
But you my friend. And so when the love is not there, the friendship is there.
Amen, yeah,
And so, and so it's so funny because we were saying, I'm like, when we, like, say if we have a little tiff, and then it's just like, man, I've just found out good news. Like, I've got to try and make up. I've got to make up and be your friend just so I can tell you this is going to be quiet.
L-O-L, guys.
This is so good.
I'm just like, hey, you all right?
You try and kind of work your way
trying
back
to work
in.
So I could just tell you the real tea. But no, that's it's been beautiful. But it's been beautiful. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Stunning. Well, guys, congratulations again on the year of marriage. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story with the viewers. I'm sure that you guys have taken a lot away from it. And if the past year is anything to go by, we look forward to just celebrating more goodness, more book launches, events, souls being saved. Come on.
Just a shameless plug, Coffee and Prayer, the gathering is on the 8th of December. Yes. So early bird tickets will be out soon. I don't know when this is airing. They'll probably be out.
Where can they find the tickets? Where can we find out more about Coffee and Prayer?
Coffee and Prayer on Instagram or through my page, Susan Deborah's. I post here and there on it. But yeah, Coffee and Prayer page. And sign up to my mailing list as well.
Yeah.
Because you'll find out through there.
Sure. And where can we find out more about 412 Men?
Yeah, same thing. So 412 Men on Instagram and on Facebook. So we do post regularly on there. And you can find details where we meet and all our events. So yeah, we have men's breakfast on the 3rd of November, 10 to 12.
Yeah,
infos at 412 Instagram. Check out, guys.
Amazing. Well, guys, it has been an absolute pleasure having these two in the studio today. I really hope that you've taken a lot from it. If you have enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to share. I love when I see you guys' tweets, your Instagram stories. So make sure to use the hashtag TTP Podcast, or you can at me as well, at Deborah Chosen. Let's just share this conversation and get this out to the world. But all that's left to say is thank you again, once again, thank you guys for joining us. And keep trusting the process, guys. That's what you got to do. That's all you got to do. That's what this story says.
Trust it.
I'll see you guys in the next one. So take care.